real skin results start with one daily ritual. Meet Daily Microfoliant from Dermalogica. This iconic exfoliating powder activates with water to gently polish away dullness and uneven texture. It leaves skin instantly smoother and more luminous while supporting your skin barrier. Formulated with professional expertise to deliver visible results daily, even on sensitive skin. Discover your healthiest skin today. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at checkout for an exclusive gift with your $65 purchase.
Hello, queens, and welcome back to Becoming Your Own Soulmate podcast. It's so good to have you guys back. Today, I have a very special guest, Dr. Jay. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. So happy to be here with you.
Thank you for being here. So the first question I ask every guest on this podcast is, what does it mean to you to be your own soulmate?
Oh, that's actually an excellent question. I would say to be my own soulmate means to have a really good, close relationship with myself and to make sure that I am conscious about self-care and self-compassion and self-love and that I'm practicing it every day.
Beautiful. Thank you. So for the listeners who are meeting you first time, who is Dr. Jay?
So I am Dr. Jay, better known as Dr. Jay, but I am Dr. Janae Lomaski. I'm a licensed clinical psychologist in Boca Raton, Florida, and I too have a podcast called Your Mental Highness. So I love when you started out about queens because I talk to all my kings and queens, and I feel that we should all feel like we are royal. Because if we feel that way, then we'll treat ourselves much better.
I love that. So what is the mission behind Your Mental Highness?
So my mission is, aside from healing people the best that I can, a lot of people come to me in private practice I have for depression, anxiety, trauma, relationship issues, family issues, ADD, all the things that we hear about. And, you know, one of the major things, the way I come off, is to empower people and motivate people. Yes, I'm a licensed psychologist, but I have walked the walk. I don't just talk the talk. So I've experienced all those things that we talk about, and it is hard, and I understand that it's hard for people. But I try and remind everyone that we are resilient, and positivity, thinking positive, and mindset goes a long way. And also who you connect with, the people that you're keeping company, is so important in how it's going to affect your life.
I love that. Yes. So a lot of my listeners are actually adult children of alcoholics, or they grew up in chaos, right? In, you know, just inconsistency in love. And how does that, you know, type of upbringing affect adult relationships?
Oh, it affects adult relationships, unfortunately, in quite a negative way. Coming from chaos and instability definitely is a big challenge for people in their adult life, and they end up getting into relationships that are, like you said, chaotic, or they go to some sort of addictions because they're trying somehow, some way to ground themselves or reduce the anxiety they're feeling. So numbing yourself or running from it or just being all over the place in a relationship, unfortunately, that is very common. Mm-hmm. Not having, number one, a secure attachment. That's where I believe like a lot of it starts, not having a secure attachment with anyone in your life. So you can't really know what it feels to be safe and grounded in a consistent way.
Yeah. And if somebody is not securely attached, what does it look like, right? If somebody's anxiously attached or avoidant or disorganized, like what would be the first step they can take to move towards a secure attachment style?
Well, what it looks like, I'll tell you first, because you gave me like a two-part, which was really good, because it's important for people to know what it looks like. They feel it. They feel the chaos. They feel the instability. They feel they love really hard at times, and then they feel empty or lost really hard. There's not a lot of continuity in their relationships or stability. So they are feeling scared a lot, unsure of what's next. And usually just inside their bodies and their minds, it's just chaos, just running all over the place. So to answer the second part, the best thing to do is to work on yourself and do some major self-healing, and starting with techniques such as grounding yourself, meditation, getting your world in order before you externalize and go into relationships or partnerships with other people. Work on feeling grounded and feeling secure within yourself. Meditation is a good thing. Self-talk is a good thing. Having a practice, a routine, rituals, those are good things. That helps us, because I know it helps me.
Yeah.
I tell people all the time, I do it too. I don't know how people do it without structure and discipline. So you have to make sure you implement some structure and discipline in your life.
Yeah, I really resonate with that, because I definitely was very anxiously attached and codependent in my marriage, which ended 6 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because, you know, when you're in it, like you said, you feel lost, you feel ungrounded, and you don't know what's coming up. But you don't know. Like, sometimes people are in it, but they don't even know what they're going through. Like, I didn't mm-hmm. know I was in a, you know, unhealthy relationship, or I was repeating the, you know, my parents' mm-hmm. marriage, and I was, you know, anxiously attached. Like, all these things I learned along the way, mm-hmm. right? So it's so important, I think, that, you know, I love that you wanted to draw the picture for people. Okay, if you're feeling this way, this way, this way, you're not securely attached. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we're going through it, but we have no idea what it is. Mm-hmm. And we feel alone mm-hmm. in that, right? So what would you say to someone who has no idea what attachment styles are, or
what you said was so true and so important that everyone, all of your listeners, need to know. It's, you don't realize you're in it when you're in it. Mm-hmm. And you realize you're in it when it's already so late that you're starting then to get symptomology, your symptoms, mm-hmm. right? Tired, maybe always feeling sick, achy, down, headaches, stomach aches, nervousness, needing a drink to calm down, needing to smoke something to calm down. That means you're already in it. So you're already doing things to try to calm yourself down, at least you think, and you're already in it. You're definitely not alone, because many, many people, if not most people, have experienced this. And I think more as the world continues to behave in a very stressful manner, we experience it even more. You're definitely not alone. And it's hard because it's so subjective that objectively you have to kind of step outside of your life and look through a glass window that's clear and see yourself inside there and watch your life, your day-to-day, your morning, moving on to your afternoon, moving on to your night, and then see what you say. Talk about what you're seeing. Just observe your day-to-day, at least one day fully, and then you're going to have a better idea of how you're doing. We don't do that. It's amazing, because it's too subjective. We're in it. But if you take that window and just look and then just talk yourself through it, I have many people that come to me in my office in therapy, and they say, oh, Dr. J, I just did it. And they laugh. They're like, I am crazy. I'm like, you're not crazy. But it's good that you were able to become aware of it.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I actually heard about this, like, saying, like, watch your life, like, as if you're watching a movie. What would you say to that main character? Like, how's she doing?
Yeah, exactly.
How's she doing? And, like, that's such a good tip, actually. I forgot about it. Thank you for reminding me that. That's good. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Because, the awareness of, like, what we're saying and not saying and how things are making us feel, that it all starts with that, understanding what we're going through.
Exactly. And it comes from what you exactly said. It's like, we don't know when we're in it. So how do we know when we're in it? So it's a really good, like, technique to use, and just look through that clear window, watch your life, and call out what you see.
Love it. Love it. So you teach about self-worth. You talk about self-worth a lot. So what does it look like for someone to embody self-worth as opposed to just like thinking and talking about it?
Mm-hmm. That's very good. It's definitely something that has to be trained within you. At least that's how I have been able to improve upon my self-worth and then teach and train others about self-worth. It is a practice. It is a day-to-day thing. It is a lot of self-talk. It is not just self-talk, but it's what actions are you taking? People think, oh, it's just talk and it doesn't work. Well, it's not just talking. It's what are the actions? What are each action you're taking that shows that you value your worth? Again, who are you talking to? What are you eating? What are you drinking? All those things talk about our worth. What do we feel we're worth depends on how we're allowing certain actions in our life to take place.
Yeah. Boundaries and the lack of boundaries.
Boundaries, big one. Setting limits. Are you positioning yourself in a place with positive, happy, uplifting, healthy, or are you positioning yourself with unhealthy, negative, draining? It's amazing that we're in charge of where we position ourselves. That's a big part of self-care and self-worth.
Yeah. A lot of people, I feel like in my generation, are the first ones to do this healing work, right? Like we didn't see it from our mothers or grandmothers. Mm-hmm. We are the cycle breakers. And so what does it look like to be like healing ancestral trauma and being the first one doing that?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's also however you want to go about it, you know, going through it yourself, starting on your own self-work. I know there's a lot of self, you know, help books out there. I'm actually coming out with a amazing ebook. It's a 30-day self-esteem guided journal boot camp. And it's huge, and it's all about going through it, and it's deep, but it's empowering and motivating. But every day, answering those questions, doing one a day, one page a day, and then at the end, you will see all that stuff that you're talking about, ancestral trauma, all those things. Why do I behave this way? Why do I think this way? Why do I act this way? If it's positive, that's great. But all the negative stuff, what do we do with that stuff? The first thing is identify it. Many people start out with symptoms and talking about other things because they're in denial. Mm-hmm. They're in denial or they want to avoid it. It's difficult to say my mother was this or my father was this or I saw them behaving this way or my grandparents were that. Or we make excuses for it. Mm-hmm. It's just another form of defense mechanisms because it's difficult to do that. And then some people get stuck in the blame game but then don't do anything about it. Yeah, I know they were this. Okay, but then you have to be accountable and responsible for taking actions so you behave and feel better.
Yeah, I was going to ask, does the victim consciousness come from that as well?
Yes.
Because like you said, people are either just like, we don't want to talk bad about our parents because they also raised us, they did right. their best, but it's like excuses in a way, right? But you felt how you felt. Then we're gaslighting ourselves.
Yes.
About how we felt and the love we didn't get.
Yes.
Right. And then there's the other side where it's like, oh, you know, this is my mom's fault, my dad's fault. They're never going to apologize. So I'm never going to change.
Exactly.
Nothing's going to get better.
Exactly.
Because they're not taking responsibility. Right. Well, you're the adult now.
Right.
Right. Yes. Our inner children are hurt. But as the adults, we get to give ourselves what we didn't get growing up. So. Right.
And you said something really important. I want your listeners to know that we do not have to wait for a parent or a spouse to apologize for us mm-hmm. to heal and get better. That is not the way it works. You give yourself permission to heal and get better. That's how it works.
Yeah, it just sounds like resistance, right, to taking responsibility and healing. And for me, you know, when it comes to forgiving my parents, if we're, you know, mm-hmm. focusing only on that, I feel like I needed to heal first.
Mm-hmm.
And then once that thing is not affecting me anymore, then I was able to forgive them easily. Uh-huh. But if I was like, oh, I need to forgive them, I need to forgive them, but they're not taking responsibility, so I cannot forgive them. No, I took responsibility. I healed. So if the thing that they did or didn't do is not affecting me anymore in any way, like in my relationships, right, then yeah, I forgive them. yeah, whatever, it doesn't affect me anymore. So I feel like the healing comes first, the forgiving, absolutely, that relationship comes after.
Absolutely. And if more people would work on themselves to heal before they do that other stuff of forgiving or saying, I'll never forget or whatever, that's secondary. Like you said, mm-hmm, if we don't work on the healing of the mind and the body and the soul, then you don't get to anywhere else.
Absolutely. And how do you do that on an identity level? Because I feel like we also get stuck with certain identities, mm-hmm, right? Like, let's say in relationships, if you have a pattern of like, mm-hmm, attracting men who cheat on you, mm-hmm, right? Or emotional unavailable men, mm-hmm, right? Like you can start getting into this identity of like, I always get abandoned. I'm the woman who gets abandoned, mm-hmm, in relationships, like physically or emotionally, right? Like, how do you shake that off and how do you heal on the identity level?
So a really big part, and to me, like the most major part of that with your identity, and I too had the journey of strengthening my sense of self and my sense of identity, because like you said, we come from our parents and we're attached to those things, good or bad, right? Mm-hmm. So it comes down to your belief system. What do you believe about yourself? What do you believe about yourself in the world? What do you believe about yourself in men or yourself in women? And my belief system, meaning my belief system, let's say, I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not important. I'm invisible. Those are all negative ones. Mm-hmm. If you have any of those, we call them faulty belief systems, you need to release any faulty belief system and start working on a new belief system. A belief system has to be not just what you think or feel. It's what you believe about yourself. When you believe that you are a strong, confident, beautiful woman, which you are, then if you really believe that, then that's what's going to gravitate towards you. And that's what you're going to gravitate towards. But when people go, oh, I know I'm smart. Oh, I know I'm handsome. I know I'm beautiful. I'm like, it's more than that. It's a belief that you really have. You fully embrace it and you acknowledge it on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's mirrored in relationships, right? Like if you have a belief system and then you treat yourself as such and then you attract the same.
Exactly.
And then it happened to me so many times where, you know, growing up, I had a lot of body image issues, mm-hmm, thanks to my mom. love her. And, you know, just believe that my hips were too wide, my boobs were too small, like all these things. I'm like, oh my God, like there's so much I need to sift through, you know? And then of course I attracted someone who would judge my body, like in the marriage.
Yes.
I was like, that sounds all tongue like my mom. That's so weird, you know, in the beginning. And because I was judging myself,
exactly,
right? So my mom's voice became my inner voice. It becomes our inner critic, right?
Yeah.
Then you hear it from your man and it's like, oh, great.
And to add on to that, why it comes up so easily for us is because it's familiar. Mm. For me as well, my husband was very familiar, like my mom. My mom's a fire sign. She's a Leo. She was reactive and a yeller. She is. God bless her. And I love her too. And very like emotional when she would get into something. It was, oh my God. And how did I end up having a husband who is the same intensity and reactive as my mom? But of course, consciously, I didn't want that. But it was familiar, so it was easy to get caught up in that.
Yeah, there's a quote that I love. Our nervous systems will always choose a familiar hell or an unfamiliar heaven.
Right.
So we're choosing the hell because it's familiar.
Because it's familiar. That's it. Exactly.
That's what safety means. And I think it's important for people to understand. We just want to feel safe.
Exactly.
And the familiar is safe.
And you know, it's interesting you say that. We do want to feel safe. Yet people I find when they come into my office, and for us in general, it's difficult because the uncommon or the unknown or unfamiliar is very difficult to accept. Mm-hmm. Even though we know it's bad, so many people are uncomfortably comfortable.
Yeah.
And we have to change that. Yeah. We have to really lean into that discomfort because it's going to be better.
Yeah, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. You just need the only way is through, you know? These are the things I say all the time.
Yeah.
And I see this in relationships a lot where women are just attracting emotional unavailable men or chaotic, like just getting cheated on over and over, or, you know, men who say they're not ready for a relationship and then they break up 2 months later, they're getting engaged, like three in a row, you know, like it's a pattern. And it's like, you know, yeah, we need to retrain our nervous system and our belief system and our subconscious mind, like to understand that, you know, what seems boring is actually healthy. A lot of women come to me, you know, even when they are able to, like they've done some work and then they are attracted a good man. But now they're like, I had a client, she broke off with this guy like 3 times in 2 years by the time, you know, when we met. And she's like, I know he's a good guy. I think he's good for me and my kids. But it's like, I just keep breaking up with him. I feel like something is off, something is wrong, something is missing.
Wow.
They're having the best relate. Like, she's so happy right now after our work together. Oh, yeah, she's like, I wish I worked with you 2 years ago. Like, we would be living together by now. Like, they just went to Orlando with the kids. Like, she wouldn't even let him meet her kids. Like, very protective and scared. And, you know, it just felt so unfamiliar to her. And it scared her. So she just kept pushing him away,
Right. And you said something about addiction. I think it's because we also, not just like alcohol or drugs, substances, but we become addicted to that feeling of chaos or fire or whatever it is. And if we're not stimulated, we feel empty. It's an unhealthy cycle. But as you know, that's why it's like, oh, this is a boring guy. Like, yeah, but this may be a healthy guy.
Exactly. That's such a good point. Yeah. Yeah. You're not getting those dopamine hits and we're all addicted to that, unfortunately.
Right. Totally.
If you grew up in a chaotic childhood, you know, family.
Absolutely. And, you know, another thing on that is I just feel like in the relationships, you know, we say like opposites attract. But for me, the opposites, it's a saying, like opposites attract.
Yeah.
You may attract, but they're not good for you necessarily. I think more like-minded sameness is actually way better. And I notice when people do that, it's like focus on what you want. You can't say you want kind and soft and then go with somebody who is like aggressive and mean.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
And you. Inconsistent. Yeah, I think that when it comes to you attract the opposite, like for me in my current relationship, in terms of the looks, we are very opposite. Like I'm very feminine and he's very masculine. I'm very light skin and he's very dark skin. Yeah. You know, like we're the opposites in the physical.
That's good.
You know, and it creates a lot of, like the polarity and attraction.
Yes.
But we are very same in our pain, in our past pain, in our like hunger for healing and growth and expansion and
it's the mental kindness, and emotional,
like what we want for our future and the vision. Like we are very much the same in all the ways except like physical appearance. And I think, you know, like people need to discern.
Yes.
Discern that. Like, just because you have attracted, if you're like water or if you're calm and if you attracted someone fiery and yelling all the time, oh, there you go, you're opposite. But
but so it doesn't because it's all about communication, right? And being heard. So are you good? Are you similar in that way or dissimilar?
Yeah. So talking about like this feminine masculine energy, I wanted to ask you, like, what is the, you know, a common misconception when it comes to being feminine? Like you see on the social media, like what is the misconception that you think people are like getting it wrong about being feminine?
Well, for women, you mean? Because there's a lot on social media. So for women, I think what I see on social media and in my practice, for some, femininity has really changed a lot. For some, it's being aggressive. For some, it's being the one who initiates. For some, femininity has changed in what we may think, which would be someone who's softer, someone who's more delicate, someone who's – and it's interesting because people think soft and delicate are not strong. It's also very strong. It's grounded in holding a certain space and grace that people don't realize that's part of femininity. It doesn't have to be screaming and yelling for certain rights or certain things. I mean, we're in a time where we have what we want and what we need. And I know some people will be yelling about that because they feel not, but it's always going to be something that comes up for women that they feel they're challenged. So they tend to change femininity and how they present and appear to make it fit in or prove someone wrong. I embrace my femininity. I feel very secure in it. I can be very soft and powerful, and I can be very assertive and powerful. I think what happens is people either think you have to be aggressive or you have to be submissive, and that's not the case at all.
Yeah. So how would you define an embodied feminine woman in her power?
Someone who has lots of self-compassion and self-care, self-respect. Someone who honors her mind and her body as it is and fully accepts it.
Love it. Yeah. Thank you. So what is one belief that every woman must release to step into her power, her highest timeline?
What she has to release? I'm not good enough. Mm. Yeah, I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. The not enough thing. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not thin enough. I'm not blonde enough. I'm not brunette enough. Whatever enough, you're more than enough. And that should be every woman's mantra. I am more than enough.
That was my next question.
Sorry.
Actually, I have more questions. Okay. So what does – I think we kind of touched upon that, but I was going to ask, like, what does empowerment look like when it's not rooted in overworking and overgiving? And I think that a lot of women try to – feel powerful through like masculine, like being a go-getter and pushing through everything and nothing can hurt me. I can make more money than men and da, 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 exactly. You know, like we all fell into that, like the shadow side of the feminism, I guess.
Yes.
We can say that.
Yes.
And just, you know, that outside power, that trying to prove herself type of energy. Mm-hmm. But how would it look like if we had nothing to prove?
We had nothing to prove,
if
right?
If we remembered really that we have nothing to
prove. That we have nothing to prove. You know, it's interesting you say that, women will take on the role, become more aggressive or domineering. And as you were saying that, I was thinking, there were men that I was talking with. This was in my practice. This is, I guess, you know, for months and months, these three men that come in and they're dating. This is why I bring them up. And they're dating women. And it's interesting how all three of them say, well, I want someone that's easy to get along with. And I said, well, what does that look like? And he said, you know, it's like she doesn't tell me what to do or how to do it or when to do it. I said, okay, I understand that. I said, but then you don't do that to her either, right? Well, I'd like her to be easy and accommodating. I said, so wait. So you can tell her how to dress or, you know, what to do or where to go, but she can't do that to you because then she's bossy or she's aggressive. So it's interesting when you ask the question, I have to think of the feedback that women are getting. So the femininity and how to be powerful in your femininity without being a certain way also depends on a lot of the influence that we receive from the male counterparts. And I say, you know, regardless of what they're saying or doing, it's about honoring yourself. And it's about really loving yourself. And like you started out saying, it's having that soul relationship with yourself. You have to be your own soul friend to be able to let it all go smoothly after that. Because once you have that within you, you're only going to be able to be in relationships and encounter relationships that flow and go more smoothly. I mean, we'll have obviously conflicts, but it's not going to be these extreme things mm-hmm. where people get really emotionally or mentally hurt and sometimes physically as well. Yeah. So it has to be, you have to really embrace yourself. And I know I say it over and over, but I think you agree that it is absolutely so true. And it's hard. It's like, it's hard work. Sometimes I fall off and I'm like, oh, why am I feeling this way? It's, you know, that knee-jerk reaction of being mean to yourself with words or what you're doing. And it's like, okay, stop. Yeah. Let me get back on and start loving myself. I've even asked people like, do you hug yourself? Do you touch yourself and hug yourself and just as a nice, a warm embrace? And a lot of people look at me like, it's so awkward. I'm like, no, it's actually not. It's oh self-compassion. God.
I love that. I end all of my like breathwork journeys, meditation journeys. If I'm guiding something at the end, this is what I say. Give yourself a big squeezy hug and say, I love myself. And that's homework. You're going to do that every morning when you first wake up. You're going to give yourself a hug and say, I love myself. Yes. And say it like you mean it.
And imagine, like you say, if people would just do it as part of their practice daily, because that's how we train the brain.
Yeah.
Right? The body has to feel it, not just once, but the more we feel it, the more we, you know, behave it.
Definitely. Right. It accumulates. I tell people it sounds like a very small thing, but keep doing it every single day. This work accumulates, like trust.
Exactly.
Trust the process. Trust yourself.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
And when you were talking about, you know, even I fall off those wagons, you know, here and there, why do you think is that? Like, what's the most common reason? Like, are we afraid to be abandoned, that we try to accommodate the other person rather than ourselves sometimes? Like, when we fall, right? Like, we're in a good place, in a good set point of self-love and self-worth and in a healthy relationship. But then there are times that you just blink and you're like, oh, you know, I didn't speak my truth. Oh, you know, that was my boundary and I forgot about that. I really wanted to do this and I did that. Like, what is happening underneath that?
Well, I think that most people that fall off are people, number one, that have high EQ, emotional intelligence, and they're usually empaths. Like you and me. And when you have high emotional intelligence and you're more in tuned and you're more considerate and compassionate because your level of empathy for people is there, that's where we end up falling off. That's where we people please or accommodate. And if we're people pleasing and accommodating, sometimes, not all the time, it's people that are not at the same level of empathy and emotional intelligence that we are. So there lies a problem. You want to make sure if you're falling off is your parent or your partner or your friend or your bestie at the same level or a similar level of understanding the empathy and the emotional connection as you are. So if we're falling off, we are trying to accommodate because we end up probably being people pleasers.
It happens even with my child sometimes. Like I have an 11-year-old son and being a single mom, so I feel like too tired to keep the boundary sometimes. And the other day I did it and I was like, oh, it doesn't feel good. I did it, but it just didn't feel good.
So when you say you did it, you
I enforced the boundary. I enforced the boundary. I was like, nope. I said, no, no means no. That's it. Done. You're not going to get your rage just by begging, crying,
and isn't it
being scared.
So hard for us?
It's okay to be scared.
I'm a
You're
single mom.
You're in your own bed. I need space.
I can relate because I'm a single mom as well, and my son is 17. And you just reminded me of how hard and how many times I would have a friend that would say, why do you offer him like 10 different things for dinner? Like, just tell him, this is what we're eating.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. And they're like, well, just at least say you can choose between these two. Even that was difficult for me.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, when you're an empath and empaths go with not wanting to hurt someone's feelings.
Yeah.
We are in the protection business. But we forget, most importantly, is we have to protect ourselves first.
Absolutely. Yes. So what is one, to close it off, what is one like affirmation that every woman can like tattoo in her like heart and her soul to carry with her?
Okay.
24/7.
Okay. 24/7. Let me think. Okay. Let's see. I guess I would say there's two I can come up with. One that I have said many times, and I know it's very grounding for me, is all is well in my world and I am safe.
I love that.
Yeah. So that's a really big one. And I always will tell, you know, my patients, just close your eyes and say it, but say it with like strength, say it with belief. And when you say it that way, it's really powerful. Yeah. And the other one, I would say is all of me is more than enough.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Love that. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. Your energy is amazing. And it is so nice to sit across from you and have this time together. It was a surprise, I think, for both of us today. Yes. I think your audience should know that this was not prepared at all. Nope. And I knew from the minute I walked in that I was just going to enjoy your presence. And I really have. Thank you for allowing me to be your guest.
Thank you so much for being here. It was my pleasure. And I felt the same way instantly. I was like, we're going to have fun.
It's exactly.
It's going to be beautiful. Absolutely. And so how can my listeners reach you and be part of your magic?
Yes. Thank you. Well, I do have a podcast called Your Mental Highness. I have a website called yourmentalhighness.com. You can also reach me at drjaneelomaski.com. That's my website as well. And if you'd like to get in touch with my office, it's 561-777-2021. That is my phone number. And my email is drjlomaski@gmail.com.
Amazing. Yeah. Thank you. And we'll put all those links and numbers underneath this episode so it's easy for people to find it. Thank you so much for being here.
Yes.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Queens, for listening, for being here as well. And I will see you next week.
Real skin results start with one daily ritual. Meet Daily Microfoliant from Dermalogica. This iconic exfoliating powder activates with water to gently polish away dullness and uneven texture. It leaves skin instantly smoother and more luminous while supporting your skin barrier. Formulated with professional expertise to deliver visible results daily, even on sensitive skin. Discover your healthiest skin today. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at checkout for an exclusive gift with your $65 purchase.